very much, Hilbert. We appreciate that and letting us sing with you as well. I wonder if you have a Bible, open your Bible, please, to Isaiah chapter 52. It's good to get together and just remember our Lord Jesus, especially on a day like today, where we celebrate his birth or his incarnation. And I was thinking about what we could talk about regarding our Lord Jesus and the fact that he was born a king, but the fact that he was born a servant king, not just a king, but a servant king. And I was reflecting on the British monarchy, and if you'll pardon just a few thoughts on that. The British monarchy has been around for about 1,200 years, which is quite a long time. And then we all were aware that Queen Elizabeth, who was the longest reigning monarch, I think it was 70 years, that she died or passed away. And then on September 8th, 2022, or just a few months ago, King Charles ascended the throne. And he was the oldest British monarch to take the throne in those 1,200 years. He was 73. He's an interesting person. He holds opinions on organic farming and architecture, and he's very opinionated on climate change and environmental conservation, and he wants to deal with those type of things. But as I was thinking about him, when we talk about somebody like that, he really pales in comparison to our king, doesn't he? Who is the King of Kings. And that's what we're going to talk about, is our king, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest king ever, and he doesn't die. He always will reign. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, we don't have to worry about when he's going to pass away, because he's not going to pass away. He's not going to die. And in Scripture, it talks a lot about him as a king and gives him different titles. For instance, he's the King of Israel in John chapter 1, verse 49. And some of you might want to write these references down, but he's the King of Israel, John 1, 49. He's also mentioned as the King of the Jews in Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. And then in Matthew 21, 5, he's mentioned as the King coming gentle, mounted on a donkey. Remember when he came into Jerusalem for the last time before he was crucified, he was mentioned as the king coming gentle, mounted on a donkey. Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is mentioned as the city of the great king. And that's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 35. If we look into the Old Testament, he's the great king. Psalm 47, verse 2, the great king. He's the King of Glory. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10 is mentioned in there. And the Lord is King forever. He's everlasting. Psalm 10, verse 16. So just a few thoughts on titles and references to them. One I appreciate very much is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, "Now to the King..." Talking about the Lord Jesus, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And then finally, this is my favorite, and we've already mentioned it. He's the King of Kings, and it's, again, Revelation 17, 14, and 19, 16. It was 19, 16. The King of Kings. It's interesting that he was born a baby, isn't it? That he came into the world as a little baby. And we've got some grandchildren that are babies, and as I look at them, I think, wow, you know, a baby is so precious and so harmless, and just brings new life into the world. Well, the Lord Jesus came as a baby, but he came as a servant. He came in a cradle, as some have said, and then he went to a cross and then he went to a crown, receiving his exaltation eventually. A good verse that is encouraging to us is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, and it summarizes the reason the Lord Jesus came into the world. It says, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." So he came into the world not to be served by others, but to serve. He came as a servant king, and that he would give his life as a ransom. Ransom really means payment. And he'd give his life as a payment for many. He paid for our sins, for our wrongs, the things that disqualify us from entering heaven. He paid, as we know, the price for that. And how did he do that? We know that he gave his life for us and died in our place, being our ransom, the payment for our sin. And that's what his work on the cross was, wasn't it? That first he came as a baby, grew up into a boy, and then into a man, being God and man at the same time, and then went to the cross and gave his life for us. The boy king who became a servant king, giving his life for us. It's summarized here in Isaiah chapter 52, and just the first, I think the last three verses, verses 13 to 15. Isaiah wrote this prophecy 700 years before the Lord Jesus came into the world. And just listen to his words. Isaiah says this, "Behold my servant." The Lord Jesus is referred to as a servant four times in Isaiah. And this is the suffering servant. "Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand." So what does it mean? What's Isaiah getting at here? First of all, as we mentioned, he's a servant. He's a servant king. "Behold my servant, the Lord Jesus, will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted." He would die on a cross and be buried, but then he would be raised from the dead and then ascended into heaven and highly exalted in God's sight. So we see the suffering servant dying for us and then being exalted. And then, "just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man." Speaking about his suffering and his substitutionary death on our behalf, paying the ransom for our sin. "And then his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouth on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand." They will understand that this King of Kings came as a servant king to die for us. Thankfully, all of us here, or most of us at least, understand that he is our ransom. The servant king that came into the world to die for us. He's our ransom. He paid the price for our salvation. As I mentioned before, the substitutionary death. He was the substitute on our behalf, took our place on the cross, died for us so that we could have salvation. And really, we just need to put our trust in our Lord Jesus and this finished work that he did on the cross for us. It's prophesied here, his eventual substitutionary death on our behalf. And then we see him being born into the world as a servant king. And then later on in the Gospels, we see him going to the cross and becoming that ransom for us. We look forward to seeing him again as a reigning king. Amen? Yeah. The servant king becoming the reigning king on our behalf. I started off with mentioning the monarchy in England. they're not known as serving monarchy, the queen or the king. They don't serve people. They just have views of different kinds. But we have a king who serves us. With his life, he died. He paid the price of our sin and served us in that capacity. What we're going to do now is just take a few minutes to remember our Lord Jesus. We have a communion, and he wanted us to do this. At the Last Supper, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And the bread and the cup, in this case we have couplets of juice, represent the Lord Jesus. We're going to take the bread first, representing the fact that he came into the world and was broken on our behalf, where he went to the cross. So the bread speaks of his body being broken, being crucified, his suffering on our behalf. So let's do that at this time, and then we'll follow with the cup.